My name is Margot Norton, curatorial associate at the New Museum, and I curated Tacita Dean Five Americans with Massimiliano Gioni, and it is my pleasure to introduce Tacita Dean, who is a Berlin-based British artist who is most well-known for creating 16mm films and has also produced a rich collection of drawings, photographs, and writing over the past 20 years. She is most well known for her films that often portray subjects at the moment of their disappearance. It's ironic because 16mm film stock, which for Dean is really the only appropriate medium for her work in capturing light and the beauty of obsolescence, is itself disappearing. The work itself is about the creative process and underscores the ability of the artist to transform the way that we see the world around us. In this audio guide program, Tacita Dean will speak about each of the works in this exhibition.
And GDGDA is, that's Amharic or Ethiopian word for mural, which is the name of the, mural is the name of the work that Julie Meritu made for the Goldman Sachs building down in near Wall Street. And she made it in Berlin, and I live in Berlin. And we're very good friends, and I just thought it was a shame that this colossal piece was not being documented in any way. And so I just took my 16mm camera there, and to be honest, I wasn't intending to necessarily make an artwork from it, but it was just. And then when I was putting the show together again in Vienna. The geography of the show just meant that I wanted to have something small and very bright on the outside of this block, the square that was the centre of the show. And I suddenly thought, well, I should look at GDGDA again and make it into a film. But in the end, it was better that it was a sort of diptych, because I filmed on 2 days, didn't have very much footage, and I'm a very incompetent camera person, so. I split it to Julie being solitary on her own, and then her assistants. And I also did the 3-4, which is the proportion of film proportion for the two. So one is a third smaller. I met Leo Steinberg, and he was writing. He was 90, and he was trying to finish his book that he'd spent the last 10 years writing on Michelangelo. Painting, and he was handwriting it. So I said I wanted to. First, I said, "Can I film her writing?" And he didn't. He was so conscious of. Never have I met anyone so conscious of the finite nature of the ultimate deadline, which was the fact that he was terrified of dying before he finished his book. So he was quite stressed by people visiting him. So he gave me 1 hour, and in that hour, so I photographed his hand, and it was quite a. He was not relaxed, and it was quite difficult, and I didn't think I had anything really, but I'd read his essay called The Line of Fate, which is this really beautiful art historical essay about this notional line in the Michelangelo, the Last Judgment, in the Sistine Chapel, and it was this. Line that cuts from the top left to the bottom right and cuts through various, like the scar on the or the cut on the side of Christ, and then through the flayed skin of Saint Bartholomew, which on it has a self-portrait of Michelangelo, and then down into hell, and it's very beautiful. It's really recommended as a really clear and concise and brilliantly written text. And, you know, and it put Michelangelo exactly dead centre of that painting. And he worked it all out. And so it's a judgment on, you know, as the artist, as humanity, and humanity judged. It's a really beautiful text. So because of that, and then I came back with all these black and white and colour pictures of Leo's hands, and I just had them lying around. I suddenly realised that within it, just by chance, I had my own line of fate with the angle in which his pen made this diagonal across the 5 photographs. with Edwin Parker, which is the film about Cy Twombly. I've loved Cy Twombly's work since my earliest days, really. I even did my art school thesis about him. And what happened is that a long time ago, I did an artist talk at DEAR here in New York on Cy's work. And after that, some years down the line, I was asked to write texts in both, for his show at the Tate, like in the book. And then shortly after that, I was asked to write about him for his show in Vienna, and I couldn't do it twice, so I suggested to Vienna that I would love to do a photo essay. So I went to Gaeta, which is in Italy, which is where Cy lived and worked. So I asked to do a photo essay of his studio in Gaeta, which is in the south of Italy. And he wasn't there, he was in Lexington actually, but it was I took hundreds of very close-up photos of this studio, which was a photo essay in the Mumuk catalogue. And then after that, I then did a show there myself, and the curator of both the Twombly show and my show. And funny enough, I don't know, it just came. I said, what about, why don't I try and film Cy? And he was famously never allowed himself to be filmed. And he said yes, which was really not expected. But I filmed him in Lexington. And again, I filmed him quite with a lot of, you know, well, I said I was going to do it with close-ups, but actually in the end it's not so close-up. But it shifted in a way, and it very much became to be about Cy in America, actually. It was like being home and being a local. And that's why I gave the title of the film Edwin Parker, because that was his given name. And I only learned that was because there's a little pillbox which said Edwin Parker Twombly on it, and I thought, Edwin Parker. I mean, he's Edwin Parker Twombly in Lexington, and he's Cy everywhere else. That is interesting. So, and you know, and he was very private, Cy, and his studio was so humble, and it was just a shop front, and he was such a wonderful man. And then with More or Less, that came from Cy, also within the same week. I said, you know, I'm a quite anxious flyer. And I said I was quite anxious about, you know, travelling by aeroplane. And he told me this beautiful story about how his mother had, you know, when he was young, when he was painting, it made him anxious, and his mother saying, why do you do something that makes you anxious? Why don't you do something that makes you happy? And I said, and does painting make you happy now? And he said, more or less. In his beautiful Virginia, I'm sorry, I was a parody of what he's like. He had this beautiful accent. And so more or less, I just carried that around with me. And so I wanted to make a sort of new day of photogravure, the more or less prints, but going back to my blackboard drawings and these, the whole show that I did in Vienna was called The Line of Fate, and it was also about the line, the creative line, and so they are sort of in a way quite palimpsestic, if there is such a word, because I mean I didn't know what I was going to do on them, and then in the end it became about the line of fate again, which was sort of, you know, it's the human line as well, you know, our lifespan to some extent, and also the line of process and the creative line. I mean, there are lots of meanings to it. So basically the contents of that, the heart of the show from Vienna, not all of it by any means, but a lot of it came to this show here. So that's why we called it Five Americans. I mean, each of my films comes from a different place. So, for example, I didn't seek out to make films particularly with these particular people, with the exception of Cy Twombly. With Merce, I worked with him on another project, which I did seek him out for, which was the 4 minutes. It's called Merce Cunningham Performed Stillness, which is when I asked him to do a performance alone to John Cage's 4 minutes 33. And I made 6 film installation for that, which was 6 performances. And then after that, he asked me and his, the executive producer of Merce Cunningham Dance Company, Trevor Carlson, who was also in the Merce Cunningham Perform Stillness, they asked me to come and work with them again for Craneware Event. And I never usually do anything a second time, but I went to visit this space down in Berkeley, California, Richmond, California, and I realised that it was a wonderful opportunity. And what I said is that I didn't want to film a performance, which is what Merce has always worked very closely with filmmakers before. I said what interested me was the rehearsal process and particularly Merce's process. So it's filmed over 3 days, and it's very much focused on Merce and how he shifts things around. And I never was even there for the performance. I'd gone by then. And Manhattan Mouse Museum, which is Klaus Oldenburg, happened that same week that I filmed down in Lexington. And so did the photographs of Leo, actually. It was a very busy week. It was the last time I was in New York, actually. But that happened because he was also working with Mumuk. So the whole it was all very much connected with this exhibition I did last year in Vienna. And the curator asked him if he would be interested, and there was this moment when we weren't sure, and then I just spent one day with him, and at the very end of that day he started to tidy up the shelves of these little objects, and the film was, I just used the last few moments of what I filmed during that day, because that's the first time he stopped being kind of aware of the camera to some extent, and that's quite important for me, that in a way I recede. And I like that film is the only one on a loop. That's not true actually, but I think GDA is also on a loop. But the thing about the one with Manhattan Mouse Museum is that you get this endless cycle of him just tidying and tidying these objects. And he, you know, famously made in the 60s and 70s his collection of objects, which he called the Mouse Museum. And so he gave it the title Manhattan Mouse Museum, which is a perfect title for that. Mm-hmm.